Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. You know me. My name is Ben Bolin. Had some ups and downs in my job. This week, I am a traffic consultant.
Traffic consultant. Very good. Very good. All right. My name is Scott Benjamin. I'm still the auto editor here. Mm-hmm. No new jobs.
You're stalwart. You're tenacious.
I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, and you're dang good at what you do, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You seem to be getting around quite a bit.
I'm kind of a jack of all trades.
Good.
Master of none. But yeah, I think this traffic consultant thing will work out pretty well. It's an interesting job because, well, A, it's not real, but, I'm sort of working for myself. I'm an entrepreneur. Basically, I stand at street corners and, I criticize people if I think they're doing the wrong thing in traffic.
You just shout out advice?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can see people listening to you.
Well, it's constructive criticism, Scott.
You have a bullhorn?
I'm working on that.
A bullhorn would be very helpful.
It would be ideal. Right now, I just have a very large sign that I stand in front of.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Anybody following your advice?
No. But, you know, this is how it always is in the beginning.
Understood.
I've got a vision, I've got a dream, and I've got a big sign.
Stick with it.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
One thing, the reason that I actually took this ridiculous job for, this week, I mean, people notice by now I've been averaging like two jobs a week,
yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Constantly on the move.
I'm trying to, you know, in this economy. So, but I still work here. How could I not hang out with my podcast partner in crime? And I took this job as research because, Scott, I got to tell you, man, we've done some podcasts about driving laws, you know, rules, regulations. Mm-hmm. We did that one about police chases.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, there are a lot of laws that people just are not following.
Yeah, that's right. There are. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you see it every day around you. Cause I mean, how many times have you been in traffic and you see somebody do something and you say like, where are the police when mm-hmm. something like this is going? Like who's going to stop that guy from doing that? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that is, like it's an illegal U-turn or whatever it happens to be.
Sure.
You know, they always seem to catch you when you're going 2 miles per hour faster in this, you know, the school zone than you're supposed to be, but, right. Never catch the guy that's going, you know, diagonal through the intersection. Mm-hmm. Whatever. There's a lot of things that I see, you know, on a daily basis that I wish, you know, like, oh man, I wish somebody would catch that guy doing that so mm-hmm. maybe he or she would stop.
And we know we kind of touched on a nerve that needed to be touched upon when we talked about pet peeves, driving pet peeves.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. I've been thinking the same thing because later when we talk about some of these more common rules that you'll see broken in front of you often, a lot of them – I don't know if it's a pet peeve or if it's really – is it a law? Is it just kind of a common practice on the road? Is it
right.
some of them are a little gray.
Is it courtesy or is it etiquette?
Exactly.
Or is it illegal?
Exactly. And some of them come right down to pet peeve. And I think we've mentioned a couple of these that I've got at least anyways in the pet peeve section. So we'll find out.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and kick it off with the most common one. Do you want me to do the most common one?
I think so, yeah. I mean, first, do you think we should tell them? Like, I got one thing I need to say first, I think.
Okay.
There's a reason that we're talking about this, and that's because I know we sound kind of stodgy about this or whatever, but
we're old codgers.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's rules for a reason, and there's a couple of reasons, really. And when you listen to the reasons, I think you'll understand why we're talking about this today. Mm-hmm. Because, and like I said, you know, you got to follow the rules. A lot of people are going to say you don't have to follow the rules. But if you don't follow the rules of the road here, the problem is that you're endangering yourself. Okay, that's one. The second thing is you're endangering every other motorist on the road. The third one, which I think some people will find, you know, apply to them, you're endangering pedestrians on the road who are expecting you to do one thing when you do another thing.
That's a good point.
So I hadn't really thought of the pedestrian angle until, you know, yesterday when I saw somebody almost get hit. I just thought, you know, like, well, they were expecting this person to stop at the light. They didn't. Mm-hmm. And continued through. And the person at the, you know, at the intersection, the crosswalk where they were supposed to be nearly was struck. And, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, well, it's an accident that was clearly the motorist's fault. But it was based on the pedestrian thinking that the car was going to stop like it was supposed to at the intersection. And, you know, it just, it got to me then at that point that, you know, there's more than just yourself that you're thinking about, you know, like, I've got to do this or else I'll get a ticket. There's other motorists and other, you know, people on the road that are walking and expect you to do certain things that,
sure.
that follow those rules or the convention standards, I guess.
And, let me go ahead. I completely feel you on that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go ahead and, plead the fifth, to some of these. 'Cause of course we're very aware, or I hope you are too, buddy, mm-hmm. that we're talking about, we're doing a podcast about driving laws. Pretty much everybody has ignored at some point or another.
Yeah. This includes us, doesn't it?
It may. Is there a statute of limitations?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to claim responsibility for any of these.
Right, right. We're just concerned. But here's something I want to say already. And I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm on my soapbox right now. Scott, the future people of the world are going to look back at the way we have traffic laws set up already.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, they're going to think it's amazing and sort of ridiculous that we had these huge vehicles hurtling past each other, very close together, in excess of 50 miles an hour.
Really?
And we thought that they would just stick to the honor system of having, you know, some lines.
There's a line painted there and no one's going to drive over that.
Not over the magic line.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we're already, you know, when we say that these rules are there for a reason, it's very easy for us to get comfortable and think that these painted symbols and stuff are real barriers, you know, and, mm-hmm. and pedestrians certainly do have to trust the other person behind the wheel.
Yeah.
So I want to go ahead and start with one of the one of the driving laws is commonly broken. Speeding.
You know what? That's my number one also.
That's my number one.
I think that no matter what, no matter if somebody says, you know, I'm always under the limit, I think there's a point where everybody is speeding at least a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some people take it to the other extreme and they speed all the time. And we joke a lot about me speeding here, but honestly, I don't drive all that fast. I drive slower than my wife does, I think, on a lot of the roads. And not to, you know, point my finger or anything, but I'm just saying that, you know, I generally try to keep it at a reasonably safe speed and distance from other drivers.
Right. But also, I mean, let's be realistic. When you look at, if you're on an interstate and you look at a sign that says the minimum speed is 40 miles per hour,
mm-hmm.
the maximum speed is 55?
70
in some places, mm-hmm. yeah. Let's not talk about where it's 70. I think that's kind of
okay,
bad.
Okay, sorry.
But, you know,
55.
Sure, it's 55. And most people are probably, if you looked at them, most people are probably averaging somewhere between 60 and 65.
Yeah, or even faster.
Even faster.
Even faster, yeah. That's one I think people commonly break just routinely, daily. Mm.
And you'll hear people make the flow of traffic argument when they
yeah.
get pulled over.
Yeah.
As I'm sure there's some people already just shaking their heads ruefully remembering when they tried that one.
Mm-hmm.
Let us all assure you, it does not work.
Flow of traffic does not work. No, but you don't want to be on the opposite side of that either, holding yeah. up traffic, because that you will get a ticket for as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
There's too slow and too fast.
It's too slow, too fast, and just right.
Yeah.
What do you got? What's another one?
Let's see. How about no turn signals? You're supposed to use your turn signals every time you change lanes, but I don't know how often I see people not use turn signals or cut across two lanes of traffic at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's also not allowed.
Yeah, but man, this is Atlanta. This is A-Town. It's like Mad Max. Down
yeah, but
here.
I mean, you've got a brand new BMW. I know that your turn signals work. It's not that, you know, they don't work, which I guess if you've got a car that doesn't have turn signals that work, that's probably also illegal.
And it's weird that nobody has designed, especially a high-end luxury car, a car that automatically flips the turn signal when you're turning.
I don't know if they can. How would they do that? I don't know. We'd have to really think about that one. Because you're talking about gradual changes in direction. I mean, it could be the curvature of the road. It could be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about like an extreme right-hand turn or left-hand turn, right?
If it's possible to build a car that parks itself, parallel parks itself.
True.
Then I see nothing wrong with
it. I understand. Yep.
We'll write a letter.
I guess it's possible.
But yeah, you're right. That's bad. It's in Atlanta. Sometimes it seems as though people don't turn on their turn signals because they don't want you to know their secret plan.
You know what that? You know when that really gets me?
When's that?
When you're in two lane traffic and there's no turn lane, of course.
Right.
And you know, you've got the choice to be in the right lane or left lane behind this person. and they go all the way up to the light, and then they turn on the signal. So, you know, you've got, you're stuck waiting. They're going to turn left in front of you.
Oh, yeah, those
and
guys.
And then you've got to try to either decide if you're going to try to, you know, pull out around them to the right or not. And
I always try to be nice
to
them.
See, I think we're getting into pet peeves.
We're getting – let's go – let's just stick with laws. You're right.
Okay.
You're right. Okay. So I will see you tailgating, and I will also go with your hypothetical intersection there, and let's talk about what's going on at yellow lights, man.
Okay. Yellow lights, that's a good one. Are you talking about the people that seem to think that four cars can go through in a yellow light?
Yes. I'm talking about them. I'm talking about some people who have, maybe in this room in the past, have been leading out at a yellow light. And then when it goes red, these people, whoever they are.
Yeah, someone in this room.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Are stuck in the intersection and a red light and just bust that left turn real quick.
Yeah.
And hope they don't get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, that's a very common thing in cities.
Yeah.
But it is also – it's illegal to bum rush that yellow light. So
– good point. Good point. Yeah. And you put yourself out in a bad position out there.
And you know what's crazy, Scott, is actually this one, I won't say that these laws are set up for anything other than safety.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been multiple cases where cities and communities have been caught – running their yellow lights short get tickets.
Yeah,
have you read about this?
I have, yeah, that's right. I've heard about that. And there's something to do with the red light cameras as well.
Yes.
Is it that if they install the red light cameras, they have to extend the yellow lights? Is that it?
There's
a minimum of like 4 seconds.
There's a minimum of 4 seconds. Bare minimum is 3.9 seconds.
Okay.
But there are people who are shorting it to 3.4.
So they've got a red light camera and then they've got a 3 second yellow light.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
And so it's tough, but it's a good revenue thing. But we're just saying, you know, I'm not beating up on drivers entirely. It's there is a gray area with these laws.
We're pointing the finger at ourselves too.
Yes, I've had mine pointed at me.
It's important to remember throughout this thing because we're not just picking on other people.
What's next?
Let's see. I've got. Let me just give you two.
Yeah.
Following too closely, so tailgating, you know, you got the 2 second rule thing that, you know, no one ever obeys really.
Oh yeah, leave the distance of a car.
And, you know, there is a tailgating rule. I mean, there's, I don't know what that would be. I don't know if it's just a judgment call on the officer.
For following too closely.
Exactly, following too closely or, following too closely for the conditions.
Yeah.
You know, if it's icy or rainy or whatever, there's a lot of different rules like that. The other one, now this one, I don't know if this is a law or not.
Okay. Well, I'll be the judge of that. I'm a traffic consultant.
Very good. Very good. Headlights when it's raining. Headlights when it's raining. What do you think?
Oh.
So if you've got your windshield wipers on,
yeah.
I've always heard if you have your windshield wipers on, you should have your headlights on. Is that true?
I don't know if that's a law. I've heard the same thing, but I'm not sure if that is a law.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a safety concern, of course. I mean,
well, a lot of laws are also state by state.
True.
So you know what? I can't speak to that. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I've always heard that, you know, when you have your headlights on, or your windshield wipers on, if you need them because of rain, you need your headlights as well. You know, if it's just, you know, one wipe to clear off, you know, the dust and dirt and stuff, of course you don't have to have your headlights on. But I mean, you know, if it's a condition where you have to have them on, it's sprinkling either or raining hard, yeah, turn them on.
Even if it's like that Creedence Clearwater song, it's like, sunny day rain, that kind of weather.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I think you have to. I don't know. We'll look into it.
We'll see.
I'll find out if that's a law or not.
Better safe than sorry is all I'm going to say.
Okay.
All right. Here's one. This has been a big, big deal in the States and especially in the areas around Atlanta recently. Using your cell phone or texting while you're driving.
Very good.
Which a lot of people do. And now anybody planning to come to Atlanta, keep an eye out because you guys are going to see some road signs that are at the county lines. And in these quick background, there's Fulton County where the majority of Atlanta is based. And then there are a couple of adjacent counties, you know, and there's one called DeKalb County. When you cross over the DeKalb County line, they have signs that say if you are in an accident and they can prove you are on your cell phone, doing anything on your cell phone, the accident is your fault.
Yeah. This is very recent, right? Our governor just signed this. Sonny Perdue, he signed this in just a few weeks ago, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a relatively recent thing, and they're definitely watching for it. So,
oh, yeah. They're so serious.
Be aware. Yeah, and it's dangerous. It really is dangerous. We're getting an article together about this right now.
Spoiler alert.
Exactly. No, it's coming together for the site. It's, you know, it's texting more dangerous than speeding or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, watch for that one soon.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got another one for you here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'll give you two again.
Okay.
How about seatbelt usage? Because there's still a lot of people that aren't wearing seatbelts, and that's a law.
Yeah, that's a law. You got me. Can I real quick? Before you go into that one, I want to tell you, man, I've got to confess to someone about this.
No.
Yeah, my family hates it. I do wear a seatbelt all the time, but you know me, man. I'm impulsive. I like to be ready to go. I have this habit that I've been trying to break myself out of. As soon as I turn onto the street where I will be stopping, I end up taking off the seatbelt. I don't know why.
Oh, no.
In case I have to, I guess, jump out of the car
or something. Yeah, I guess so. Bad news.
I can't break it. I've been doing it since before I was driving age.
Really? So when you near your final destination, that's when you take off your seatbelt?
Yeah, and it's so wrong.
I'm
trying to do it. Like, my girlfriend just hates it, detests it.
I bet.
So I'm trying to break myself, man, but it's one day at a time.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, what's next? Sorry.
No, it's all right. A lot of people just simply will not wear them. My grandfather, I remember, would sit in the car and he would hold the seatbelt. How would he do this? He would click it in because he knew that, you know, the light or the buzzer would go.
Oh, yeah.
This is back in the early 70s, right?
Yeah.
He would click it into its receptacle there, and he would hold it so far away from him, like, you know, hold it way away from his chest.
Yeah,
it was going to do absolutely no good, you know, like an arm's length away from him. Some people just hate it. I mean,
I know that.
I know somebody who will not wear their seatbelt because they know of one story, one time where a friend, you know, was actually saved by not wearing the seatbelt. That's so rare that, you know, they say that they ever even will tell you that, you know, if you had been wearing it, you would have died. In a car accident. Usually it's a horrendous accident.
Well, even someone like me with that weird compulsive habit,
yeah.
I wear a seatbelt the majority of the time.
Yeah.
The guy who invented it, Niles Bohlin or something, his different from my
really?
Name.
Really?
Bohlin or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought
you were name dropping.
Well, no. Looking into that, I think that invention has saved over a billion lives.
Yeah, I would definitely believe
it. The numbers beat out the anecdotes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we try to convince this person that I know, and it's a family member, and, you know, just will not have any of that.
Up until quite recently, people did not have to wear a seatbelt if they were driving a pickup truck in Georgia.
Oh, you know what? You're right. That's very recent, within the last, again, month or two, right?
Yeah.
Very recent, which is, we were the final holdout, I think, on that.
Yes.
A lot of states had the similar rule, and then Georgia was the last one to pass, you know, that you do have to wear a seatbelt in a pickup truck.
Well, because there's not really a reason not to.
Yeah, I think that the rule kind of goes back to when they were thinking that, you know, pickup trucks were commonly used in agriculture and farm, you know, other environments, off-road type environments, and you know you're getting in and out of the vehicle. Let's say you're in a logging job or
sure.
You know, whatever it would be, forestry type job, and you're getting in and out of the vehicle 60 times a day. I can understand why they would say like, well, it's not necessary to do that over and over again, and you're not even on a public road. But now, you know, a lot of people drive. A lot of people, that's their main form of transportation. That's their
daily driver.
You're right. So you know, there's no reason not to if you're on the highway.
But I agree with you. What you're saying is logical and rational. I just don't know if that's the reason Georgia was last holdout. I heard a different story,
really?
Mr. B.
Do
yeah.
tell.
I heard that one of the members of our state Congress actually refused to wear a seatbelt and drove a pickup truck. And I heard that you can trace this law to this individual.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, that's this is all new to me.
I don't remember his name, and again, it's just an anecdote.
Yeah, no, it's so, likely true.
Possible.
Likely true. I mean, if you got somebody on the inside that's you know putting pressure on this to keep it out, yeah, I understand.
Inside job.
Did that person recently retire?
I believe so.
Oh, there you go. That's the reason.
I think we need a guy on the inside or a woman on the inside, someone on the inside to get us a couple of BMWs.
Okay, why is that?
I just like them, and no, I'm really, you know, if just, they can change seatbelt laws.
You're just a fan.
I'm just a fan.
Just a fan, okay.
Quality right. vehicle.
Very good.
Okay, what a tangent. I'm sorry.
Wow. Wow, very good. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. How about this one? I was going to give you two here. So
Yeah.
Complete stop at intersections, like stop signs.
Mm-hmm.
I got to admit that sometimes I don't do this in residential areas. Which is probably one of the worst places not to do this.
Sure. And,
you know, you've got
where the
potential.
Kids are.
Yeah, you get the potential of people. Now, I always look around, of course, but, you know, rolling stop, you'll get a ticket for a rolling stop. In fact, a lot of times you'll find, police officers kind of camped.
Just waiting.
Just, you know, 100 feet away from the intersection, just watching and just waiting for someone to do that. And I've had a lot of friends get tickets for that. I luckily have not had one at this, you know, to this point.
I don't think I've had one.
I see a lot of people doing rolling stops. I mean, you have to go, legally, you have to come to a stop where the weight of the car settles.
Yes.
And then you move on.
But a lot of people don't do that. I'm reformed. I do complete stops now, man, but I used to make more California rolls than a sushi chef. So.
Oh, Ben.
That was not bad, huh?
No, I guess, yeah. We'll leave that up to
we'll
the
listeners.
We'll
let that one go?
Yeah, we'll let that one go. We'll leave it up to the listeners. What was that? More California rolls than a
sushi chef. Because they make California rolls.
Very good.
Okay, look, man, not all these jokes are going to be awesome. Luckily, you can make
more than I'm coming
You
up
can
with.
Make bad jokes.
All right, here's another one. Or do you have a whole bunch of them over there, too?
I only have one. I only have two more.
Okay. Go ahead.
You want to hear them?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
This one is one that I think a lot of people do unintentionally, especially when you're in a new place. That is, this is the part where you ask me what it is.
Oh, what is it, Ben?
I'm so glad you asked. It is parking illegally.
Parking illegally.
The first ticket I ever got in Atlanta, because I swear to you, Scott, I swear on Henry Ford's name that that parking space looked like I could put my car there.
you're very serious about it. You swear on Henry Ford's name.
Well, look, okay. Long story short, there was nothing on the – it was street parking. There was nothing on the street that said I couldn't park there. It was in the middle of several cars. Behind a pole in a bush, there is a sign that said that's a handicap spot.
Oh boy.
And I didn't see it. And then when the cop wrote me the ticket and, I was looking at the ticket, it took me like a couple minutes to find the sign.
Oh wow.
I had to go like on an expedition into the bush.
The guy probably just he probably camps out and waits for people to use that spot and writes tickets.
Well, also, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who would park in a handicap.
No, you're not at all.
It's messed up, but I think that's something a lot of people do without knowing that they're doing it.
No, I honestly believe you. I don't think you would ever do that intentionally. I know that.
Well, thanks, man.
But that's terrible when they hide something like that on you and you just inadvertently stumble into it like that.
All right. Now you're being a little overly
sensitive. No, really.
Are you setting
me
up for something?
No, I'm really not. No, that's too bad, Ben.
I'm
really sorry.
Accidentally park illegally.
What do I seem? I'm not being glib about this. Okay. All right. I'm ready. All right. I got a couple more here. We'll make them pretty quick. Let's see. You know what? I'll go with these the lines thing because I got another one that's bigger than this. Crossing solid white lines or crossing solid yellow lines.
People do it.
I know. Like you had mentioned that, you know, that those painted barriers, we've come to know that, you know, you're not supposed to do that. You find that out in driver's ed. But, you know, people cross solid white lines and they cross solid yellow lines as well. You'll see the solid white lines a lot of times on corners. You're not supposed to change lanes on certain corners. If they deem it's too steep or too much of an angle, you know, et cetera. If it's too fast of a turn, you're supposed to maintain your lane. And a solid line indicates that. And a lot of people are changing lanes all over the place in that.
Sure.
Or they cross over into a turn lane too quickly. So they end up in a section that's marked off with, you know, solid yellow lines. Or they do a U-turn over two solid yellow lines, which indicates, you know, there's traffic coming the other direction. So, I don't know. The solid yellow line and solid white line thing really gets me.
That does seem to bug you, man.
Yeah, it does.
Also, you know, you're not supposed to switch lanes in an intersection or in the midst of an intersection.
Yeah, you're right. And
people do that.
I see that all the time. I see that. Oh, what about passing on the right? I see a lot of people passing on the right.
Now, I got to ask you, is that a law?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, you're not supposed to pass on the right. You're supposed to, you know, I think, you know, the person is also in front of you. If they're holding up traffic, they're supposed to move to the right and allow you to pass on the left.
Yeah, but few people do.
And if you can't pass on the left, then, you know, that's too bad for you. You're supposed to wait until you are able to pass on the left. You're not supposed to pass on the right. That's not the right way to do it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, few people actually do go to the right when there's slower traffic because we all get this – I get this racing mentality sometimes, you know. I got to hold my spot in line, Scott. Okay, yeah.
Okay. So I got – you have any more? Because I've got a couple.
I got this one. Stopping for pedestrians in crosswalks happens a lot.
Yep.
You know, even in a lot of cities, they'll have a sign, the little yellow sign with the stop sign painted on it, stop for pedestrians.
Those pedestrians are crossing. I don't know what the problem is. You know, the cars always have the right of way. So
wait. Yeah.
Well, you're looking at me like
– I'm – I really want to be on your side, man. I want to support you. But you got to stop hitting these people in the street.
No, okay. I know that's not right.
Yeah, yeah, we know that, and but it's true that a lot of times maybe the drivers don't see the people who are about to walk out on the curb and continue past.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we have to deal with that every day pulling into our building.
Yes, sir.
Off the main road, and there's a lot of foot traffic coming from public transportation and just in general. People live in condos down here in the city.
Sure,
a lot of people walk to work or bike to work.
Keep an eye out.
So you know, construction workers walk into the job site, that type of thing, and anytime we're turning into the building, you know, it's always kind of nerve-wracking because you have people closing in from behind quickly, and you have to stop often to let people, you know, continue to cross in front of you, and that's always kind of iffy in the morning.
And then the last one I have, I just thought of it because we were talking about this earlier. Flashing yellow lights at an intersection, let's get this straight for everybody. They mean slow down and use caution. They do not mean stop at the intersection.
Yes, so if the power has gone out and it's defaulted to, you know, one direction is flashing yellow, one direction is flashing red.
Yeah.
The one that's flashing yellow, everybody is supposed to continue through, but a lot of people treat that as a four-way stop. And that kind of screws things up even worse because they've got it charted out that way for a reason. Sometimes it's red and red, which, you know, they want it to be a four-way stop.
Yeah.
Other times it's, like we mentioned, red and yellow in another direction. You know, it's usually the traffic or the car with the direction, rather, with the most traffic. And that's what we had going on this morning. And there were some people going nuts in traffic, just super upset.
Sure.
Because no one seemed to understand that a flashing yellow means you continue through.
And maybe we're just living in the wrong part of the world. Maybe everybody else in the U.S. knows that except for –
I don't know. I don't think so. I've seen that, you know, other times when power goes out in certain regions and, you know, no one seems to understand how to operate that stop or that, that intersection.
And in their defense, there is sort of, there's a nice mentality behind it. This live and let live.
Yeah.
Let's make it a four-way stop just to help these people stuck
on that side.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you know that they're going to have an awful hard time getting out into traffic ever because no one's going to give them a break.
Yeah.
It's a continuous flow of traffic versus a light that was working, you know, allowing them to go left and right. So imagine trying to turn left across all of that traffic, busy rush hour traffic.
You're right.
Good
and
luck.
I should be more sympathetic. I'm just pointing out, man, flashing yellow light, don't stop. You're supposed to go.
That's right.
Okay.
Good point. My last two, and then we'll wrap it up here. These kind of go together, so I'm going to read them both at the same time, okay?
All right.
All right. How about failure to yield right of way? Like, you know, when you're turning left, you have like a left turn arrow, and someone who's turning right, you know, they've got a red light on the other side. They're turning right and they cut right in front of you.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then worse than that, probably, I would say, and this one goes with it, I think, is, giving the right of way to another driver who does not have the right of way. So when you're turning and let's say that, you know, you're going to turn left and it's two green lights, right?
Okay.
And you're headed into an intersection. You're going to turn left.
All right.
And there's another car coming towards you and they've got a green light and they're going to turn right. Now they've got the right of way to turn right and then you wait.
Sure.
Kind of follow them through.
Because they have the light.
Well, let's say that they're approaching and they're just starting to make the turn and you start to edge out a little bit and they suddenly stamp on the brakes and motion you through and act like, you know, what are you doing? But they give you they motion you through. It just causes more trouble than it's worth. I mean, you knew what was going on. They've kind of held things up there.
Yeah.
So you see what I mean about giving? Yeah. I mean, they're trying to be nice.
They are.
They're trying to be nice. So you got to give them credit for that.
Sure.
But, if you don't, that's what it comes back to the rules. If you don't follow the rules, everything kind of gets jammed up in there because now the whole rhythm is thrown off of the whole thing. Like, you know, you're doing the right thing. If they're doing the right thing, it will all work fine. If somebody kind of messes that up, just, you know, throws a, I don't know, a
traffic
wrench
jam.
Just throws a wrench in the gears. You know, it causes trouble.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The rules are there for a reason. I mean, we sound like we're, you know, preaching to people or something here. We're not because we're guilty of a lot of this, really.
Yeah.
I know I am. Not flagrant, not all the time, but you know, the rolling stop, sure, I occasionally do that. I speed a little bit now and then, you know, that type of thing, but, I don't turn on right, you know, turn on red when I'm not supposed to and things like that.
Yeah.
I think some people just do that because they just don't care, I think.
I have a very excellent, defense. Well, I think it's excellent. Maybe it's going to let some people down. But, you know, the reason that we're hitting on this stuff, despite the fact that neither Scott nor myself are angels when it comes to this, is because, you know, a lot of people have heard that story about how everything's interrelated, how a butterfly in South Africa or in Peru flaps its wings, there will be a hurricane later. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know much about butterflies, or I'm not a meteorologist.
They taste with their feet, Ben.
They do?
Yeah.
Weird.
I know.
Wow. At least I'm not an expert in those things this week. But the logic there is it does actually hold true in a very, very real way for traffic, because when that person who is giving you the right of way, when that person who's going right gives you the right of way on the left, and then someone taps their brakes behind them, the stops get larger.
Sure. Domino effect.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. The domino effect in traffic, that can last. I mean, when you're talking about a busy city, that can last hours.
Yeah.
That's why highway backups last. You know, when there's an accident on the road, people slow down, you know, for whatever reason, for the initial accident or just to, you know, rubberneck to gawk at the accident.
Sure.
That domino effect, if it's continuous flow of traffic, that can last hours and it can extend miles and miles, just from someone tapping the brakes, you know, hours prior to that.
And you know what? Maybe we feel like we're because I feel a little preachy too, man.
Yeah, but. I know. I feel awkward doing this because I'm trying to. It's like do as I say type thing. But but honestly, like we said through the whole thing, you know, we're guilty of some of these as well. Just trying to let everybody know that, you know, there's a reason for the rules, and if you follow them, I guess everything kind of works itself out. You know, that's if everybody's following the rules, everything works relatively smoothly. If someone breaks that chain, then there's a problem.
And we'd also like to ask our listeners out here, you guys in the wide world of the internet, let us know, did we forget? Is there a law that you feel like sometimes you're the only person that remembers this law? Or is there something that you feel like if you obeyed it would be weird for you in traffic, you know, which could happen, like the speeding thing that we've talked about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead and hit us up on our Facebook, Car Stuff. Go ahead and hit us up on our Twitter while you're there. Okay. While you're there, check out the blog.
Yeah, sure. We got the blog. We've got the website, which has got a ton of great automotive articles that you can peruse at your leisure. And let's see, we've got the – did you mention the blog?
I did.
The blog. Yeah. Okay, the Car Stuff blog.
Yeah. We have an email and go ahead and send us an email. We might read your letter on the air.
There's probably a good chance. We haven't done a lot of listener email recently, but we're going to get back into it.
Yeah, we're saving up, guys.
Yeah, that's right, saving up. So if you want to contact us, go ahead and do that. You can do that at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.